The Home Improvement Show with Ken Connors and Jan Eakes.
Got that right on a beautiful Saturday morning. Nice to have you here at 9:06. Let's say good morning to everyone listening in on CJAD 800 in Montreal News Talk Radio. You can call us right now and get a line for the Home Improvement Show at 514-790-0800 and simulcast as well. We do with our friends in London, Ontario at 1290 CJBK News Talk Radio there. Good morning to you. And thanks for joining the program. You can call toll free at 1-800-491-CJAD. Yannick's is on holiday. Every now and then we give him a week off, and he took one. And so filling in, as usual, is Walter Assey from Renovco. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning, Ken. How are you?
I'm very good. You're having a busy summer, as always, at Renovco, keeping you up early and out late.
They keep us on our toes, that's for sure.
Well, thank you for joining us. We have lots to talk about this morning. And again, if you want to get some free advice from Walter when it comes to renovations and home projects, he is the guy, just like Jan, full of great information and guidance. 514-790-0800. Grab a line right now. Got Matthew behind the board. David answering your calls. Are you ready to go?
Absolutely.
Let's start, Walter. Good morning. Hi, CJD 800. Who's this?
It's Nelson from DDO.
Nelson?
Yeah.
How are you this morning?
Not too bad.
All right. You want to talk about what, the stone landing on your balcony?
Yeah, I have on the front steps of my house, at the base of the steps, is I believe these things are called pavers. They sort of look like bricks. It's a puzzle of all these bricks put together. It was done about 12 to 14 years ago. And the center of this landing is bulging upwards. Mm-hmm. It was originally put in not glued together because they used that polymer sand to hold it together, and I've even swept in polymer sand over the years into it. But now it's starting to bulge, and little plants are growing between them, and I take out the plants, but the thing's starting to bulge upward. I'm just wondering whether or not it's to fix this is just take the puzzle apart and put it back together again.
So that's one common problem that happens with pavers, that they move with time. Obviously, you could maintain them throughout the years by doing what you did, which is taking out the sand every now and then, adding sand, and that's to avoid having grass growing in between them and so on and so forth. But what happens is when the land freezes with the salt and everything, sometimes it moves, it bulges, sometimes it dips in other areas. So what you typically need to do is you can remove the pavers, recompact the sand to level it in that particular area, and just put them back and add some polymer sand, and that should do the trick. If it's not a big area, you could literally do it yourself. But the idea behind it is really in the compaction of the sand, right? So you could rent a compactor and you just compact it properly, level it off, make it nice and level, and then put the pavers right back on.
So then, yeah, it's about a 6-foot by 6-foot square area. So I guess that's possible.
Which makes it easier. If it was a tiny area of 2x2, it would have been a bit, you know. Now you take it all out, okay, and you just rent yourself a compactor. You just get maybe a bit of sand to level it all off to the level of the other areas of the land, and you just put it right back on.
Okay, that's what I wanted to check out. We'll see what we're going to do.
Nelson, thanks for the call. Good luck with the project.
Thank you.
That's Nelson calling in from the West Island. If you want to grab a line right now and get some free advice here on the radio about your home improvement project, your home renovation project, call 514-790-0800. Jan's off this week. Walter from Renovco is filling in. Let me ask you something. I mean, the real estate market is super hot in Montreal. Mm-hmm. I imagine that is translating to work for you guys at Renovco, because a lot of people will buy homes and first order of business is a little bit of renovation to make it their home.
Big time. Yeah. So not only that, it's actually major projects. And you know, I've been doing this 25 years. So I've seen all kind of cycles, from a recession to good markets. I've never seen a red hot market like I've seen in the last year or so. Yeah, I have to say. And people are very bullish on their renovations. So we see that people are buying homes, and it's not paint job and a kitchen reno. It's like, you know, building extension. It's like gutting walls. It's really major work. the real estate market is hot. The value is going up drastically. We've seen bidding wars on homes.
Is that right?
I have a lot of real estate agents that are clients, and they tell me it's crazy. Like, we put it, and it's going above listing, and they never seen that in Montreal. You know, we usually have. So that's good for the economy. That's for sure.
And so, what usually gets the overhaul right off the bat? Is it the kitchen and bathrooms, because they want to update them?
So that. Two best investments you could do in your home as a return of investment are these two rooms, the kitchens and the bathrooms. Everything else for a new buyer, potential new buyer, like a paint job, they say we'll do it ourselves. And it's almost they want to do it and put their own touch on the house. Basements come third. Mm-hmm. And obviously all the maintenance things for the curb appeal, right? So you don't want to have a bad-looking roof or crumbling bricks in your front yard. But yeah, typically these are the most practical rooms to renovate in a home. And these are the rooms that really protects your home. Like if you have an old bathroom, it can really flood your whole house.
That's right, yeah. It's not just aesthetics that you have to take care of. It's also safety and security and damage.
Yeah, 100%. Most people don't know that toilets have a lifeline to them. Valves have a lifeline, pipes. So you can only push it so far, right?
514-790-0800. If you want to get on the air here and talk to Walter about your home improvement project, your home renovation project, get some free advice. He's here for the full hour filling in for Jan. What part of the town are you doing a lot of this work in? Is it primarily on West Island, or does Renovco cover all areas?
No, we cover most areas, Laval, South Shore, Greater Montreal region. We have a big clientele in the West Island in the NDG St. Luke area, but we're all over the place, really. We get called as far as Gatineau. We've done about 100 jobs in Gatineau last year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something on a personal note, because this is on my to-do list. I believe I have a leak in my trough, because when it rains, mm-hmm. There's a leak that's coming down by my front door, and mm-hmm. it's staining the brick on the side of the house. Yeah. So I imagine that there must be a problem with either a hole or the caulking, because the water is coming down, of course, and it's streaming down slowly, trickling down, and it's ruining the look and the brick. So I guess I have to find the source of that problem right up there.
Well, it could be one of three things. It could be a hole in the gutter, which is extremely rare. It could be the silicone in a joint, in the overlapping joint, and it could be when you change the roof, they didn't put a drip edge, and in that area the shingle itself did not pass the roof line. And that's why it will go between the fascia and the gutter and just trickle down into your brick. So the easy fix is you go up there, you look, and if you see that the drip edge is not actually or the shingle is not going far enough, then that will be one probably the problem.
Okay.
If there's no joint, then obviously it's not a joint issue.
What do I do to salvage and to improve the look of the brick?
Muriatic acid.
Yeah.
Muriatic acid does a great job. It just takes it all out. I mean, you could try simple pressure wash at the beginning. Okay. That could also work. But if that doesn't work, just go up there with muriatic acid and get it done.
Very good. All right. That's Walter. If you want to talk to Walter, get some free advice, as I just did, call right now at 514-790-0800. Walter, I don't know if you can see the text line in front of you, but we have something falling off the foundation crack. Behind the crack is old, second time patching. Do you see that up there on your screen?
No, I don't.
Okay. It's they wrote Creppy, C-R-E-I-P-I.
Yeah. Yes.
Creppy falling off the foundation crack. Behind the crack is old, second time patching it.
Okay. So what's the question?
They didn't really phrase it in the form of a question, unfortunately.
Okay. So when we have a crack in the foundation, we have to look at two things. Is it a superficial crack, which is if it's in the creppy only, then we don't have to really worry about it for it leaking.
Right.
Okay. Because the creppy and the foundation itself are two different finishings. And sometimes the creppy does crack with time. So if they're worried about water infiltration, if it's just a creppy issue, that's not going to be an issue for them at all. They don't have to worry about that. Of course, if it's aesthetics, then they can just redo the creppy simply. If the crack, the foundation crack, and it's really a structure crack that's going throughout, then in the second time, it might have been improperly fixed.
Okay.
Now, we've seen this. Actually, it's a common thing. Someone comes in, they just, literally, they think repairing a foundation crack is patching it. It's not. You have to open it. You have to clean it. You have to inject it. It's a process. especially if it's done from the inside or the outside.
Right.
Because from the outside, there's, you know, a bit more things we could do as well. How big the crack is, the structural, and so on and so forth. So it's really looking into it and maybe, you know, calling an expert just to have a quick look.
All right. You can text as well if you want to get some advice from Walter at 514-800 and call us right now at 514-790-0800. A couple of lines are free. We'll get to Marilyn in just a second.
Everybody knows a guy, but we've got the guy, the Home Improvement Show. Here's Ken Connors and Yannick's.
Welcome back to the show. Nice to have you here. It's 20 minutes after 9. News Talk Radio, CJD 800 in Montreal. And our friends are listening in from London, Ontario, where they simulcast the Home Improvement Show. 1290 CJBK News Talk Radio there in London. The number to call is 1-800-491-CJAD. If you're listening in from the London region, that is toll free. And of course, here at 514-790-0800. In for Jan is Walter from Renovco. Walter will go right back to the phone. Marilyn's been waiting patiently. Good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning. What? I hope you have as good a morning as I have.
Oh, yeah. So listen, turn that radio down if you want to talk to us. And you want to, you called last week. You have a problem with your roof.
Because the answer I got was sort of wide open. And Walter Assi, I thought, would be very, very qualified to answer it.
So what is your very specific question for Walter?
My specific question is, we had in October put on a new roof. We live in the country. We are exposed to lots of storms and winds, as you may know.
Yep.
And we wanted, actually, the lower part of the roof, let's say the last 3-4 feet, in metal so that the snow could slide off, because the angle of the roof is very low. It's number 4. And we thought if we put metal at the, let's say, 1/3 of the roof, the lower part, and the rest shingles, that would avoid the drifting of snow on the roof. What do you think, Walter?
You could do that. I mean, my question to you is, if that's what something that you were thinking about, why didn't you do your whole roof as a metal roof?
Well, two things to it: the cost as such, and secondly, we were advised that the shingles, super weather shingles, whatever they're called, mm-hmm. Are good. The only thing is, we are exposed, as I said, to storms from the west and northwest, yeah, as much, yeah, as you can think. And even once our previous roof was lifted up a little,
yeah,
bit.
So I'm going to give you seven.
We had electric wiring, which,
yeah,
worked very fine.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, when these people put on the new roof, they told us, number one, that it was not possible to put metal underneath, which I doubt very much, but unfortunately I was out of town. And secondly, they had damaged very badly all our cables.
Yeah.
So surprise, surprise, everything was plugged in and so on, and all of a sudden we see this building up of ice. And with all our power failures,
yeah,
as an afterthought.
Yeah. Marilyn.
Maybe if we put metal, it slides off,
yeah,
and we don't have any problems. So,
Marilyn, we're going to let Walter weigh in here. Hang on. Go ahead, Walter.
Yeah, so Marilyn, it's really talking about options in your case. So, and then you're going to weigh the best, the most cost prohibitive, or the most, depending on the budget that you have and everything. The number one thing you want to do when you change your roof is look at the roof as a system. And that's what most people don't do, or most roofers don't do. A roof is not just about the shingles or the metal shingles or the, you know, hurricane shingles or any type of shingles. It's about the membrane, how far the ice shield membrane, that is, how far you install that membrane depending on the roof slope. What type of ventilations we have on the roof? Do we have enough ventilations?
We got those turbo vents.
Yeah.
Because they are more efficient,
yeah,
out here, because we saw these other ones,
yeah,
these vacuum vents being torn off.
A ventilation as well. That's very important to understand.
Yeah, we have a ridge vent going. Okay. The building was a sucrerie at one time, and we had converted it. Because we love living out here.
Okay, and the soffits are well ventilated. You have soffits, or what type of? Because I mean, a vent is only as good as the intake that it has, right?
It's all around, And on one corner, sort of, so to speak, it is the north side. We have a different type of soffit. They said it would be sufficient there.
Okay, so you have continuous ventilation all around your roofline.
Yeah.
Okay. How about your insulation in your attic?
We have no attic. We have cathedral.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So basically, what you need is a good roofing system. Meaning, you need to have eye shield membrane. Enough eye shield membrane. And good shingles. The metal flashing. You could put it. How much is going to help? It might help. But the idea is, you know, either you put a metal roof, either you put electric wires, or an eye shield membrane. There's not many things. But I would check, like I said, I mean, this is a general statement. I would check the ventilation. I would check the soffits. I would check we just redid the roof. I just give you an example. And the lady did it only 6 years ago. And before that, she did it 7 years ago. And the roof was always problematic. Yet she had excellent quality shingles on her roof. Mm. Okay. And she had decent eye shield membrane. But when we came into it and we start really dissecting the problem, we've realized one thing. She had all the heating ducts in her attic, and they were extremely poorly insulated. She didn't have enough insulation in the attic. Mm. And on top of that, she had blocked soffits in certain areas. Mm. And these are the areas that were giving her the problem. So the problem was not really from the roof. It was really from the attic that was creating icicles inside the attic and creating a raving havoc into the house. So she paid twice for a roof that she didn't need to change.
All right. Marilyn, good luck with the project. Hope that was a bit of help for you. 9:26. We'll come back with more of your phone calls. Helen, you're around the corner. So is Sylvie here on the Home Improvement Show.
The Home Improvement Show, brought to you by Electrica, Montreal's trusted team of home electrical experts. Electrica with a K.ca.
Improving your home, one call at a time. The Home Improvement Show with Ken Connors and Jan Eakes.
Welcome back to the second half of the show. Saturday morning, the Home Improvement Show. Jan's taking a week off. Walter from Renovco is here to answer your calls and questions. Always great to have him filling in for Jan at 9:35. Two numbers to call locally at 514-790-0800. Listening in from London, Ontario at CJBK 1290 News Talk Radio there. You can dial toll free and get on the air for your home improvement question and advice at 1-800-491-CJAD. Let's go to Sylvie, Walter. Sylvie, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for waiting. What's your question?
My question is, we have an old home and we want to clean up the floor of the basement. It's cement right now. Mm-hmm. And it's about 1,200 square feet. What is the cheapest and easiest and fastest way to clean up the floor? Is it just painting it with a cement paint, or is it putting down those sticky vinyl slats, or what is the most expedient and inexpensive way to do that? Mm.
The most expedient and expensive would be epoxy paint.
Okay.
If applied properly, okay? Because if you don't apply it properly, it will become a nightmare for you. It will peel and it will create all kind of issues. The idea with paint is like you're painting any surface, it needs to be clean, as clean as possible. You need to degrease the floor so you can, have special cleaners. Make sure it's like as dust-free as possible, because this is how the paint is going to adhere to the surface.
Okay.
They do great paints. There's a lot of nice colors, and it can literally be done in a couple of days.
Walter, did you say degrease the floor?
Yeah. So remove any greasing, any oil, any residue. Because, these are typically the types of stains that paint will never adhere to, and it becomes an issue for you if you're gonna have to maintain it every year. So you're gonna spend a lot of time cleaning and make sure that the surface is dry after you do, because I've seen cases where the clients cleaned their floor, pressure washed it or washed it or mopped it, and then 20 minutes later just applied the paint and had all kinds of problems. You want to make sure the slab is actually nice and dry. A couple of days, wait for it to, or mechanically dry it with fans, and then apply your paint.
Sylvie, which way are you? Go ahead.
Does it require a primer before you paint with epoxy paint?
No, you don't. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, and if you go to those paint stores, the specialty paint stores, they have a lot of like very specialized products. Depending on the brand, they have different ways to apply them, different rollers and so on and so forth. But they will actually give you the specs of the product. So you tell them what you need, what you want it for, and they will just kind of direct you in the right direction. But most of the cases, right out of the can and into the floor. You don't need to do any other preparations.
So there seems to be a lot of place where that can go wrong if we don't dry it, if we don't clean it properly, if we don't apply it properly. Do you think that one of those vinyl floor coverings would be less, there'd be less stages where things can go wrong, or is it a lot more expensive?
That is partially incorrect, because again, when you deal with vinyl, it have a glue. So the idea is you want the surface to be clean either way, because whether you're putting glue or you're putting paint, you want it to adhere properly, right?
Okay.
The issue with vinyl, it's an okay option, but it's much more labor intensive. I mean, you're taking it tile by tile, you're literally installing it, and you know you have to do the cuts and so on and so forth. Whereas a paint, you're literally just rolling it.
Okay.
So it takes a bit more skill to install a vinyl floor or a vinyl tile. And it's way more, 1,200 square feet, a lot of square footage to install tiles. So it's going to take you a long time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sylvie, good luck with it. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
939 from Sylvie. We will go to Helen. Helen, good morning. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm good. You have a question about that upstairs washroom, right?
Yes. We live in a cottage in a semi-detached, and there's we share a chimney in the middle. And in the upstairs washroom, the wall that that adjoins to the next cottage, in the winter time, all of a sudden I saw it change color. The tiles change color. So I presume there was water coming in.
Hmm. Okay.
So is there any? Could you give me an idea of what's happening?
The tiles. You mean the ceramic tiles on the wall?
Yes, the ceramic tiles on the wall.
Okay.
All the other two sides remain the same.
Yeah.
But the wall adjoining the cottage next door.
Okay.
It was there was water seeping. I presume it was water seeping in because of the tiles. They changed color.
Okay. Let me ask you, how old is the roof?
The roof. It was done. It was recently done, about two, three years ago.
Okay, so that's great. That's great news. So it does have a guarantee on it, right?
Yes.
Okay, because typically most of the time what we see is a failure in the flashing around the chimney done by the roofer. So it could be a very simple fix of a caulking bead or something that cracked or flashing inadequately installed. And because of that, what you have to do is just call your roofer and enforce your guarantee and tell them I had water coming in from around the chimney.
Okay.
They can come up, check it out. If that's not the case, then at least you'll have his idea why it's happening and where it's coming from.
Because I'm afraid of mold setting in if I don't do it.
Well, here's the thing, and that's what most listeners need to understand. You cannot have a water infiltration in an area that you do not mechanically dry and expect mold not to set in. Meaning, even if you had one incident of a water infiltration, the area that got wet needs to be dried out.
Okay.
Okay. Mold will take 24 to 48 hours in any material that is cellulose-based. This paper-like material, 90% of what our homes are built from is really cellulose-based, and it will start forming.
Okay.
Okay? So especially in a slow, gradual leak, because you're constantly feeding the source, so the colonies get to develop at a continuous pace. So, you know, we go into homes sometimes, and they've had the same leak for like 3 years in a row, and they have all kind of mold problems. But for them, well, you know, just discolored and didn't think much of it. It will cost you way cheaper to open up that area, mechanically dry it, Okay, disinfect it if you can. But here's the thing, and this is the good news. If you open it within the first 24 hours, you don't even need to disinfect that area.
Oh.
So you just open it and dry it, and off you go.
Even though if it's a whole wall, I'd have to take the whole wall down? Or
that is incorrect. So what typically happens is the area itself, like if you have a professional disaster recovery or fire and flood restorator, they do strategic incisions. So okay. In a lot of cases, what we do is we do like very small openings. It's below the baseboard, and we shoot in either hot air or blowers or dehums, dry force. There's multiple equipment that we have that will actually go straight to the source and save you a lot of money in the rebuild. Okay.
Do you do the work? Does your company do the work?
That's correct.
That type of work.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll probably be giving you a call to take care of it.
Reminder of the number right now while you have her.
It's 514-856-9993.
9993. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Oh,
thank you.
You know, Ken, it's been so many years I do the show, and I never ever did an advertisement for my company. It's the first time ever.
It's my pleasure. That's Walter from Renovco. Grab that line to just read up at 514-790-0800. Paul and Marilyn, hang on. We'll get to you around the second with more calls here on the Home Improvement Show.
The Home Improvement Show with Ken Connors and Jan Eakes.
Thank you for making this part of your Saturday morning. We certainly appreciate it. 514-790-0800 and toll-free 1-800-491-CJAD. We'll say good morning to our friends listening in from the London, Ontario area, listening in on 1290 CJBK News Talk Radio there. Nice to have you along. Walter from Renovco is filling in, pinch hitting for Jan, who's off this week. Jan will be back next week. Walter, let's get back to the phones.
Yeah, sure.
All right. We'll go to Marilyn, who's been waiting. Hi, Marilyn.
Good morning.
Hi, yes, what's your
Marilyn
question?
From Point Claire.
Hi, Marilyn.
And we've experienced terrible ice dams this winter.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's an unusual winter, but we've had two different contractors come with two different solutions, and I don't know which is the correct one. The first, because it's a townhouse with a 15-degree slope,
mm-hmm.
which is very bad, and the first roofer said we'd remove the roof right down to the whole cavity
mm-hmm.
would be removed. They would blow in polyurethane,
mm-hmm.
cover the complete roof with elastomer, and they would put it beneath the shingles on either beneath, I guess, the firewall or whatever on either side, the two neighbors, and they would use. It's a rolled material, not shingles. Apparently, anything below 18 degrees should not have shingles.
Mm-hmm.
The other person we had said, no, you couldn't do that, because if you blew in polyurethane, it would stick to the gyprock. If you ever had to open the ceiling, it wouldn't be a good idea. They would use cellulose and fiberglass. And no ridge vent would be required, which sounds very strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
To use polyurethane, they said you'd have to do it by the inside. So now I'm in a quandary. I was 100% sure the first route was the best route to take. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not sure.
Now you have your doubts.
I'll have my doubts, exactly.
What do you say, Walter?
Okay, so the first guy wants to use your roof as a flat roof because it does not have a very pronounced slope. Am I correct?
Right, correct.
Okay. There's nothing bad with that, okay? My question is, what's wrong with your insulation right now? Is it because there's not enough place to...
Yeah, well, it's only about a 6-inch cavity, I think.
Okay.
And it's all bats. The house was built in 1963.
Okay. So in this case, I can definitely tell you that the second guy is wrong.
Second guy is wrong. Okay,
that's right.
Good.
Because you won't be able to blow enough cellulose to create enough insulation in your attic. You need an R41 by code, and that might go up to R50.
Yes.
So 6 inches won't give you that. 6 inches will give you about R21. That's not enough.
Right.
Okay. You can get that from the urethane. Okay, you will be getting much more R value from the urethane.
Right.
So I would go with the urethane route for sure.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Here's the other thing. Okay, so let's say you want to repair the gibrock in the future, and I can understand what the other guy is saying. It's, you know, if you have blown-in insulation, well, all the blown-in insulation is going to fall, and you're going to have to replace it. So it's really, you know, it's a catch-22.
Yeah.
How often do you open your ceilings and change the gibrock and so on and so forth?
I haven't done it in 35 years.
There you go. So, you know, it's not really a convincing reason not to do it. And even if you do it, it's not a very difficult thing to cut the urethane and then reapply it where it's been removed.
Okay, good.
So typically, yes, we do use urethane in areas where we don't have enough thickness to get enough R value.
Yes.
And it's a very common practice. So for sure, the first recommendation is something that I would endorse.
All right. Okay. How's that, Marilyn?
That sounds very good. I also had Quebec Spec. I had the Renovair come. I also had a building inspector come.
Okay.
And the building inspector suggested we go as closely to the contractor number one suggested.
All right, there
and
you
that's
go.
What Walter is telling
yeah.
us.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's all falling into place.
You have three opinions right now endorsing the same thing.
That's right, which is what I want to hear,
excellent.
Really.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you one thing. What about a ridge vent? How effective is the ridge vent?
It is effective. I mean, it's going to boil down to brand and how it's installed and everything, but it does a job. It's better than no vent at all, and it's better than a blocked vent. Obviously, the most amazing type of ventilation we want is as continuous as possible, so you don't want it to be obstructed. But that's in a perfect world, and not every roof, unfortunately, is built that way.
All right. We're going to quickly go to Paul. Paul, are you there?
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Paul, unfortunately, we're up against the clock. We got about a minute and a half. You want to talk to Walter about refinishing a floor on your balcony?
Yes.
What's the question specifically?
Well, what I want to do is put down deck boards, but I don't want water leaking down to the neighbor downstairs, so I want to know what I could put under my deck boards.
Ah, under okay. the deck boards.
What type of balcony is it? Right now? What? Is it fiberglass, cement?
No, the framing is all treated wood.
Okay.
The framing is all treated wood, and there was tongue and groove on there in the before, which I've removed.
Okay.
And now I want to resurface it. I was going to put sheets of plywood there, outdoor plywood,
right,
and then just put my deck boards on top of that.
You know, if you go to NDG, specifically in the NDG area, there's a lot of tongue and groove that is actually watertight.
Right.
So the idea is you want to install it the proper way, and the trick is you want to have it painted multiple coats as well. But it does the job, and it's been doing it for years and years and years. Some of these homes have those boards are 30, 40 years, and it looks nice. It really does look nice. So that's something that you might entertain and save some money in the process as well.
Paul, thank you. Sorry for the short call there. We were up against the clock. Walter, thanks for joining us this morning. I appreciate that.
Always a pleasure, Ken. Always a pleasure.
Walter Azzi from Renovco. We're back next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on the Home Improvement Show.
The Home Improvement Show with Jan Eakes. Brought to you by Peter the Painter. For your residential painting needs, peterthepainter.ca, where quality workmanship and customer satisfaction come first.